Peace and grace and love to you from the triune God. Amen. If there is one comment that I hear more than any other in talking to people about their faith, it's something like this. You see, I believe in God, but I'm not sure how to make the connection with God. God seems so far away from my life. I've heard this from a lot of people, bright university students, certainly from the confirmation students. Just last week, heard it from a tough-looking cop, from teachers, nurses, even some government leaders, custodians, and certainly from some parents. In fact, I've come to think that this sense of lack of connection is sort of a common unspoken thought that's in the hearts of a lot of people, including people that are very active in church. God is this great mystery and purpose, but God is somewhere beyond us, the thinking goes. And Jesus then came later to teach us how to live God's way. That means that our job is to do the best we can to follow Jesus and somehow hope that we get a glimpse of God sometime along the way. In the life of the church, today is called Trinity Sunday. It's the only day that is devoted to a doctrine of the church. Most of the Sundays are about stories or events that happened in the life of Jesus or some biblical story. But today is on a doctrine. And preachers have known to dread this day. They hand the sermon on this day off to an intern and sit and watch that person drown herself or himself in some theological concept. Even St. Augustine, the famous church father, who wrote an entire book on the Trinity alone, once said, "If you don't believe in the Trinity, you will lose your soul. But if you try to understand the Trinity, you will lose your mind." You see, the whole notion of the Trinity sounds quite abstract. God, Christians say, is three persons in one divine life, and we call this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The language is very masculine, but of course, the source of everything is beyond gender. We all know this. But why all this complexity of three in one? What is this all about? How can it be that one plus one plus one equals one? I think it's hard enough to believe in one God, and now we're being told that we have to believe in three. What is this? And there have been important movements, especially in the past two centuries, to throw all this complexity overboard. There are several newer denominations for whom this is just simply nonsense. So there is one God, many say, but God is something like a moral law to a lot of people, or a watchmaker who created the world and sort of set it going. And then came Jesus, who was a great teacher. And then there was a spirit, but all three in one? Does any of you happen to know how this talk of God as three ever got started? Does anybody know what it's from? Any history? Church history buff? Because it's not in the Bible. Christianity began as a movement within Judaism, as you know. And in the ancient world, Judaism was a faith with the radical insight that in back of all reality, there is just one single mystery, a cosmos, not of many competing gods, but one God. And still today, every Jewish service contains the Shema. It's a statement at the heart of their faith, and they say, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." But then, the early Christians, out of their experience of living with this God and with this new faith, they discovered in their experience that this mystery had also come to them in a person and in many different ways. God had entered history in Jesus of Nazareth and had lived in a human form. And then after his resurrection, he had continued to be with his followers in the form of this tremendous energy and power, the Spirit. So then the church fathers, and I do mean they were all fathers, maybe that's good on a Father's Day, they spent much of their time, several centuries in fact, working on this thing. They tried to work on the doctrine of what was then a brand new religion. So they tried to figure out how this all worked. And in the Council of Nicene, they came up with this Nicene Creed that we're going to say today. 1,500 years later, we gather in worship on Trinity Sunday and scratch our heads over this strange doctrine of one God with three names. So the doctrine of Trinity didn't come from the Bible. It grew out of the struggle of those early Christians to make sense of the experience that they had met God in various forms, and particularly in three different ways. And for that, they needed a new language. It was a little bit like an experience a child might have in discovering different dimensions of a parent's love. You see, when a child is very young, they experience parent as a powerful figure who rules and orders the world. And the child learns from the parent what she or he must or must not do. So it's a relationship of a superior to inferior. But then as the child gets older, along the way, they begin to see the parent a little bit more like a companion, right? Like when you take a first trip with your adult child, you can sort of be a companion. And then much later, when the parent dies, the child one day hears somebody say, "Oh, you sound just like your mother. You sound just like your father." And they realize that they now carry inside them something of the parent's own spirit. So one love has been experienced in three different ways: as a parent, as a friend, and as an inner spirit. And the Trinity is a little bit like that. It is believing in one God who comes to us and can be experienced in different ways. But at the heart of the universe, in God's inner life, is one thing, and that is love. From long before the Big Bang launched the universe into being, God's own life has been one of love. So you will discover the fullness of your life when you allow yourself to be caught up in a life of that very love. It is a life of giving and receiving, like the care that you offer to someone, the effort parents expend raising their children, the time youth take to help out at Evangel Hall, the check that you write in support of the refugee family, the struggle you go through to forgive, the little acts of help you offer at home or at work. All of these, my friends, are not simply good moral actions, but they are ways of participating in the life and love of God. When you do those things, You are allowing yourself to be caught into the ongoing flow of God's love. One of the most helpful ways I have found of imagining what this all means comes from C.S. Lewis. I don't know if any of you have ever read any of his work, but he has this description of what is actually happening when we pray. He says, you sit in a chair, you lie in your bed, and you try to get in touch with God. But here's the real surprise. Your wish to be connected to the heart of life, to God, is, according to Lewis, the very presence of God in you. So it is God moving in you who draws you towards God. The Spirit prays within us with sighs too deep for the words, St. Paul says. And so the whole threefold life of God is actually going on in the space where you're praying. Right there, you are being pulled into God by God. God is more in you than you are in yourself. You are inside God, and that yearning spans every faith and even when there is no faith, because God places that yearning in us. At the end of the poem, Divine Comedy, Dante, after he has traveled through hell and purgatory, finally comes to paradise, and he looks directly into the light of God, and he catches a glimpse of three circles of the Trinity, but he can't really see it because it's so bright, the dazzling brightness. And the poem ends as he describes how his vision failed him so that he couldn't take it in, but instead his desire and his will were caught up in what he called the love that moves the sun and other stars. So I think to celebrate Trinity is not to see it or even to begin to understand it, but it is to have your life caught up in this endless flow of love. So today it is my hope that you can allow yourself to be caught in the nearness of this great Trinitarian life of God, and that you can discover your own participation in God's life, and that you can open your life to the love that moves the sun and the other stars. May it be so. Amen.